It's a very big, important decision. And by the way, he did this after 8 months as administrator. Not, I think you said 8 minutes, but he put a
that would be pretty quick, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He put a hard 7 months into this thing. He went around. He met with transportation security officers all over the country. Talked to prior administrators, and I think made a pretty balanced determination here. Now, everything that has to do with security is excluded from collective bargaining, and that really isn't a problem for us because our number one concern has always been, along with the TSOs, the transportation security officers, is the security and safety of the flying public. But this will allow the TSOs to really have a voice at work on some problems that are very frustrating. You know, they ranked four from the bottom out of 244 agencies in the government in terms of morale and a good place to work. And I think Mr. Pistol really saw that, and I think he feels, and this is, you know, he was a deputy director of the FBI. This is not somebody coming in from a union background, but I think he saw in his investigation and in the studying to come up with his determination that that having a voice at work and being able to have some consistency and to allow employees to address some of the problems that they feel really will improve morale and I think that improves safety.
Let's talk about what is covered and what isn't covered. We have Mr. Pistol's decision linked up at federalnewsradio.com so people can read it for themselves. Pistol says collective bargaining units will cover performance management process, awards recognition process, attendance management guidelines, shift bids, but it will not cover security policies, procedures, the deployment of personnel, pay, pension, form of compensation, proficiency testing, job qualifications, discipline standards. A lot of those areas, including pay, seem pretty significant to not be included.
Well, the unions in the federal sector don't bargain pay anywhere. Or, well, a couple places that have authority do, very small. But in general, Congress sets our pay. Congress sets our benefit package, and that's not bargainable in the unions. Even though this is a much more restricted collective bargaining scope, even as compared to other security agencies that we represent, for instance, like the Border Patrol or ICE agents or the Federal Protective Service, but
it's certainly other forms of compensation are included in collective bargaining agreements, as we've seen in, say, pay for performance at the National Security Personnel System and the proposal that was out there at DHS as well.
Well, it certainly wasn't bargainable either. It wasn't bargained then. Now, but what it does do, the thing that is number one on the employees' minds and concerns is this. They have a system called TAS, and it's not transparent. It's not fair. They have no recourse. Some of it was done by outside contractors. The employees don't even know what they're being, you know, rated on. And we think, and I think Mr. Pistol, when he did his town halls, he heard it loud and clear that something, that major changes have to be done to that performance management system. And I think that we have a lot of experience in this, our union, and I think we can work with employees and work with TSA management and develop improvements that will that people will give this system more credibility and remove a huge burr under the saddle of TSOs. So while we don't bargain actual pay, we can bargain these procedures on by which employees are evaluated.
And we should note that I don't believe that TSA employees will be allowed to strike. I know I saw a lot of Twitter traffic saying that's not included in this. Workers won't be able to strike.
Of course not. Yeah. You know, and it's disturbing when we see some congressional people putting out letters to their constituencies in their congressional districts saying, well, this will mean that they'll strike. And they know that federal employees can't strike, can't do slowdowns, it can't do job actions, and it's not just TSOs. This is all federal employees are covered under the same statute on that. And for Congress people to even put that out, I mean, that's not disingenuous. That's an out-and-out lie, and they know it's a lie. And I think they ought to be called up for it, really. The press and their constituents, you know, when they say something like that, this is going to mean that TSA, TSOs and the airports can strike. It's just, you know, well, there's some people that balance and facts really don't matter. They're ideologically opposed, and that's it.
Let me ask you about another, speaking of the Hill, a Senate lawmaker, Senator Roger Whitaker, Republican from Mississippi, has proposed what he calls the Termination of Collective Bargaining of TSA Employees Act. This would essentially not allow a collective bargaining at TSA for these TSA employees. So it is, will this eventually be decided in Congress rather than by Administrator Pistol?
I hope not, but if it is, I think there are enough Congress people to see this for really what it is, and I'm talking about the move to try to block these employees from having a voice at work. Mr. Pistol, I think is going to stand by his decision. I think when people read it and see it, they're going to see that it's very balanced. This is not at all threatening the security of our airline industry. This is not in any way going to harm, and I maintain it's going to help provide security to the flying public. So, you know, I think it's the attacks that are being put out now on Mr. Pistol's determination, or you got to consider the source of them, and I don't think they're based on anything.
Let me ask you one last question, because it's not determined that necessarily it's going to be your union that represents these employees. How does that process? What are the next steps here?
Well, an election will start on March 9th, and it'll run for a month. And you know, it's very difficult to campaign there. You certainly can't talk to those folks while they're on the job. But anyway, there will be an election where people will choose a union or not. And I believe that our union will be chosen. We've been with TSO since the beginning. We were instrumental in having them federalized, really. And we have just stuck by them through this long 9 years, representing them in every way we could before Congress, testifying, even on the job. And there they had a sort of a company grievance procedure, but our attorneys would be in there and trying to argue on behalf of some employees who were unjustly treated. So I think the TSOs are going to know who was with them from the beginning and who really brought them these additional rights and who is working to really make their job better.
So in terms of next steps, there's this determination, there's this vote in March, and then do they decide which union they go with, or is that part and parcel?
That will determine what union to go with.
Okay.
That will be on the ballot, the unions as well as the no union. And then the winning union, and I believe that will be AFGE. We will sit down with our TSOs. We'll develop contract proposals and sit down with management. A good part of Pistol's plan here is to try to deal with these problems in a more collegiate way, and to deal with things not in the same or what some people might feel is an adversarial setting. So we're interested in doing that. This is a very novel approach to labor management, even, you know, for the federal sector, and we're committed to making it work.
John Gage, he is the president of the American Federation of Government Employees. Mr. Gage, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
It is, and we should note that we have a link. You can read the entire Mr. Pistol's full decision, his determination. It's about 10 pages long, so you can read the whole thing and make your determination for yourself what this means.